Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
So welcome back to today's Daf, which is Erevin Daf Mem Aleph. On the bottom of Daf Mem Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom, says the Gemara, Va'omar Rabba, Ki Havinon Be Rav Huna. When we were at the yeshiva Rav Huna, Iboilon, we had the following Shiloh. Bar Be Rav, this yeshiva man, the Yosef Betanisa, B'mali Shabbat, who was observing a Tanis, accepted upon himself to fast on Erev Shabbos, to do tshuva, preparation of Kedusha Shabbos. The question is, Ma'u Lashlume, is he allowed to, does he have to, complete that Tanis until Shabbos? Perhaps he should not do that because he's going to be entering Shabbos in a state of hunger, a state of deprivation, in a state of fasting. So although he's not explicitly fasting on Shabbos, but since it's inevitable he's going to be entering Shabbos in that state, perhaps that's a problem. There's another point here, because he can't really pinpoint the exact moment when Shabbos enters. So he's going to have to fast a bit into Shabbos as well, which is inevitable. So perhaps he might not do that. So that's the Shaila. Ma'ula Shlumei. Can he go ahead and be mashlim that Tanis, this Tanis Rishus, this arbitrary Tanis that he accepted upon himself? Can he be mashlim it? Can he complete that day with Tanis? Does he have to do that? Well, Yehava b'yadei, so Rav Huna didn't really have a response. Asoyil kamei de Rav Yehuda. So this is Rav Huna speaking. I came before Rav Yehuda and I presented to him this question. Well, Yehava b'yadei, and he also did not have an answer. Omar Rava, or some say Omar Rabba, so it was Rabba himself who proceeded to say like this. Nechzai anan. Let's take a look. Let's analyze it on our own. The Sanya, we have a Braisa, Tes Ba'av Shecholiyes B'Shabbos. If Tisha B'Av, the fast day, falls out on Shabbos, V'chein Erev Tisha B'Av Shecholiyes B'Shabbos. Likewise, if Erev Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, and Tisha B'Av is on Sunday, so although generally speaking, Rashi brings that the last Suda of Erev Tisha B'Av is meant to be a very small scale meal, one's not meant to have two cooked foods, no meat, no wine, says the Braisa, but since it's Shabbos, you're unlimited, you're unrestricted. Oichel v'sheisa kol tzorchai, you can eat and drink as much as you'd like, without any limitations. Umal al shulchanai, afilu kesudas shleima b'shatai. And he go ahead and create this meal, a lavish meal, like shleima melech, at his height when he was a king. So this is halacha of Shabbos. Continues the Braisa, Chol Yos Tisha B'Av Be'erev Shabbos. What if Tisha B'Av falls on Erev Shabbos? In which case, you need to fast on that day. Says the Braisa, but you don't complete, you're not mashlim that tainus. So, towards the end of the day, Mevi'im Lo'i Kebeitza V'Oichel. They serve him a food which has the amount equivalent of the Beitza volume to break his fast. V'Oichel, and he eats it, Kadesh Lo'i Yikonis L'Shabbos K'Shemuna. So, he shouldn't enter Shabbos in a state of suffering, a state of fasting. So according to this Shita, no, one is not meant to be mashlim atanis that he's doing on Erev Shabbos. He's not meant to enter Shabbos in a state of fasting. That's like fasting partially on Shabbos itself. V'tanya Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Pam Achas, there was once a time, Hayinu Yoshvin Fir Rekiva, who was sitting before Rekiva, V'tisha Ba'av Shecholeis Be'er Shabbos Hoya. And it was this very same halacha, we had Tisha B'Av falling on Erev Shabbos, and we were fasting. And they served him a partially cooked egg. V'gama, and he swallowed it b'le'melech without salt. V'lo'isha yatovla. He personally had no desire for it, he wasn't hungry. Elo'laharis al-talmidim halacha. He did it to display, to demonstrate to the talmidim, and this is the proper halacha. When one has to fast on Erev Shabbos, whether it's a Tisha B'Av fast, or, as we discussed earlier, the Tanis that the Barbi Rav is observing. Either way, you must go ahead and terminate that Tanis before Shabbos' arrival. You can't go into Shabbos in a state of deprivation. So that's the Shita of Tanakam of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosi Omer, Misano Mashlim. Actually, you meant to complete the Tanis. There's no concern with entering Shabbos in that state of deprivation, as we're soon going to see. So, we seem to have a machlokes regarding our question. When a person fasts on Erev Shabbos, Is he meant to be mashlim, to complete that fast into Shabbos, or be mafsik that tanis before Shabbos? According to the Tanakhama here, he meant to be mafsik that tanis before Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi holds misane umashlim. Omle Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi turned to the Chachamim. Yata moidimli. He's going to prove his point that one may go ahead and be mashlim, a tanis, that is conducting the Erev Shabbos. He says like this, do you not agree to me, yata moidimli, in the following case? What happens if Tisha B'Av falls out on Sunday? Shemasik Moed Yom. Then inevitably he's going to have to stop eating at the end of Shabbos, when it's still daytime. As Tosis points out, because it's very hard to define the exact moment when Shabbos is over and Sunday arrives, so you must stop a bit before nightfall. So you see from here that you can go ahead and complete the Shabbos with a tinus. Okay, so that was his question. Do you agree with me that one is meant to be mafsik from eating boidyoim while it's still daytime at the end of Shabbos? Amar lo avol, yes, certainly. So he told him, if that's the case, so what's the difference between ending your Shabbos in a state of fasting or beginning the Shabbos in a state of fasting? In either case, it's only just a small amount of time. It's not a significant tanis that's being conducted here. And just as you could leave Shabbos in a state of fasting, likewise, you should be allowed to enter Shabbos in a state of fasting. So if the Tanis falls out in Erev Shabbos, you're meant to be marshal in that Tanis, although you're coming into Shabbos in a state of fasting. Amar Lam, say, told him, Mali Lekanas Bok Shemuna. What's the difference between coming into Shabbos in a state of deprivation, a state of suffering, a state of fasting? Mali Lotis Menok Shemuna, or leaving Shabbos in that state. Meaning, if you can leave Shabbos in a state of Tanis, you should be allowed to enter it as well. So just as you agree with me, when Tisha B'Av falls out on Sunday, what happens? Inevitably, you're going to have to stop before nightfall. So the end of Shabbos is going to be in a state of Tanis. Likewise, if there's a Tanis on Friday, you're meant to be marshal in that Tanis, despite the fact that inevitably you're going to be entering Shabbos in that state of deprivation. Amar Leis, they responded to him, how could you compare two things? Im amris lotis memeno, when you speak about leaving Shabbos in a state of tanis, that's not so terrible. Sharei ochel v'shasa kol yom kuloi. He has eaten and drank the whole day. He's not hungry. He's not deprived. It's after the whole day of eating and drinking. So certainly that's okay. Toimar, how could you compare that to the likonis b'gashmuna? How could you say, well, if so, he can go ahead and enter Shabbos in a state of deprivation. He hasn't eaten, nor has he drank the whole day. He's fasting all Friday. So he's entering Shabbos in a state of tanis. It's like he's partially fasting on Shabbos. Therefore, they responded, you can't compare two things. And they hold that indeed one is not meant to be mashlim a tanis that's conducting their Shabbos. Because otherwise, you're going to be fasting on part of that Shabbos. Va'amar Ula halachka Rabbi Yossi. Ula concluded that halacha follows Rabbi Yossi, who holds that one is meant to be mashlim atanis of Erev Shabbos. So this was the conclusion of Rabbi. He says, let's analyze the halacha in this case. The conclusion is, it was a machlekes tanaim, and Ula concluded for us, the one to follow Rabbi Yossi, misane u'mashlim. Says the Gemara, umi abdinak Rabbi Yossi. Does Allah really follow Rabbi Yossi? He holds that one is meant to complete the Tanis of Shabbos. V'Avraminu, V'Kash Mor Brice. V'Avraminu Ein Goizrin Tanis Alat Sibur. We're speaking about establishing the fast days when there was a rain stoppage. So not meant to establish a Tanis, a public Tanis, Baruch Hashadoshim, B'Chanukah B'Purim. These are days of Yom Tovim, of Mayid. We're not meant to initiate a fast day on these days. But V'Mischilu Ein Mafsikit. What happens if they've already initiated a series of fast days, and sometime throughout this series of fast days, they've encountered one of these days, Shchodesh, Chanukah, Purim? Then we don't disrupt the sequence of fast days. Eim afsikim, and we fast even on those days. Divrei Rabban Gamliel. Omer Rabban Meir, you meant to know as follows. Aval pish Omer Rabban Gamliel, Eim afsikim, even though Rabban Gamliel just told us. We're not meant to disrupt the fast days. We're meant to fast even or Rosh Chodesh on Chanukah or Purim, Moida Haya Sheim Ashlimin. However, he agreed that you're not meant to be mashlim, to complete the fast days. Fast, fine, but towards the end of the day, terminate that fast. It's not meant to be a complete fast day. It's meant to be a partial fast day. The Gemara soon is going to call it a Tanis Shois, a partial fast day. So even he would agree that you're not meant to be mashlim when the fast day falls out on Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, Purim. V'chein, the same concept will apply, Betesbav, Shecholias be'Erev Shabbos. If Tisha B'Av falls on Erev Shabbos, so today we don't have that because we run according to the calendar system, but this would happen in time of Samigdash. Tisha B'Av can fall on Erev Shabbos. Says Reb Meir, that Reb Gamliel held that in that situation, you wouldn't complete the Tanis. Rather, you would terminate it prior to Shabbos, that you don't walk into Shabbos in a state of fasting. So this was the Shita of Reb Gamliel. V'Tanya, La'achab tirosei, shel Rabbi Gamliel, after Reb Gamliel passed away, nichnas Reb Yishua, la'afes dvarav. Reb Yishua came in to annul his words. No, meaning, who meant to be mashlim, the tainus. He disagreed with Reb Gamliel, who held e'mashlim. So what happened? Omar Reb Yechem Nuri Avraglov. Reb Yechem Nuri stood up and he said, V'omar, chaziyana, it appears to me that the correct approach should be the basa resha after the head, gufa azal, the body is meant to follow. Meaning, just as we followed Reb Gamliel up until this point, we want to follow him further. We want to go after the divrei harishonim, Rashi says, the words of the previous ones, of the previous generation. Therefore, we're not meant to change things. We want to keep it in this way. We're not meant to be mashlim. Continues the Braisa, Kol Yomav Shel Gamliel, Kavano Alacha Kemoisa. This is Rabbi Yochanan speaking. He's responding to Rabbi Yishua. When Rabbi Gamliel was around his entire lifetime, we followed his shita, Kavano Alacha Kemoisa. Achshav Atam Avakash Levatal Dvarav. Now you wish to be mevatal his words. Your Yishua Ein Shoyim Alacha. We don't listen to you. Shekvar Nikva Alacha Gamliel. Because Alacha was already established, like Rabbi Gamliel, that the Tanis is not meant to be completed. And nobody challenged it. This became the accepted halacha that the Tanis will not be completed. Says the Gemara, apparently, the halacha follows Reb Gamliel. So when we're speaking about, for instance, the Tanis, which took place on Erev Shabbos, we're not meant to be mashlim that Tanis. We're concerned about coming into Shabbos, kishu mu'una, in a state of fasting. So how is this compatible with Ula, who told us that halacha follows Rabbi Yosi, who says Misana Umashlim? Says the Gemara, depends on which generation. In that generation, Ovid Kram Gamliel, they followed his shita, and they were not Mashlim. But the Rishon Rabbi Yosi, which was the subsequent generation, they switched things, and Ovid Kram Yosi, they followed Rabbi Yosi, who holds that we're meant to be Misana and Mashlim the Tanis. Says the Gemara, so you mean to say in the time of Reb Gamliel, in his generation, they followed his shita? Va'atanya, we have a braisa which indicates otherwise. Amar Blazer, Reb Tzadik, ani mibnei sana ben Binyamin. So Reb Blazer, Reb Tzadik testified, he was in the time of Reb Gamliel, and he testified as follows, I belong to the family of Sanov Ben Binyamin, from the Shevet Binyamin, as Tosis explains. Ben Binyamin is the Shevet of Binyamin. Now, as Rashi explains that during the days of Bayis Sheni, there was a shortage of firewood for the Mizbeach, so several families volunteered to donate on a regular basis firewood for the Ma'arocha for the Mizbeach. And they drew lots, and they determined which day is going to be designated for which family, and that day becomes their Yom Tov. They brought their firewood, they brought a carbon, it became their yontif, they celebrated that day. So this family, son of Ben Binyamin, was one of those families. And their day of Hakrovas Eitzim, of yontif, was actually the 10th day of Av, right after Tisha B'Av. So Blazer Reb Tzadik, who was a member of that family, said like this, Pamachas chol Tisha B'Av lias b'Shabbos. There was once a case where Tisha B'Av fell out on Shabbos, v'dechinu lachar Shabbos. And we postponed it till after Shabbos. V'saninu boy, and indeed we fasted on Sunday. But since Sunday, which is really the 10th day of which is our Yom Tov, that's why we didn't complete the fast day. V'lo yishlamnu. We didn't complete it. We fasted partially, but we didn't complete it. We didn't conduct ourselves like an ordinary fast day. Why? Because it was our Yom Tov. Therefore, we mitigated somewhat the effect of the Tanis. We fasted, but not to completion. So this was the statement dictated by Rav Elazar of Tzaddik. Stop. Okay, says the Gemara. Tama de Yom Tov. Apparently, it's only because that day was the Yom Tov. It was the 10th day of Av. So they didn't complete the day. Rather, they were not mashlim. So they fasted, but without being mashlim. But on your standard typical year, when Tisha B'Av fell out on a Tuesday, so although it was really their Erev Yom Tov, right? Their Yom Tov was on the following day, on the 10th day of Av. So Tisha B'Av fell out on their Erev Yom Tov. It appears from this Brisa, they had no concern, no qualms about completing their Tanis, their Tisha B'Av, although it was Erev Yom Tov. Coming into the Yom Tov in a state of fasting, there's no concern. Tama de Yom Tov. The only concern was only because that day was Yom Tov. So they didn't complete the Tanis. Ha'erev Yom Tov. But on your typical year, when Tisha B'Av fell out during the weekday, and it was the day prior to Asar Abav, which was their Yom Tov, Mashlimen, they would complete their Tanis. So apparently, even during the Dor of Rabban Gamliel, right, this was the Dor of Gamliel, they didn't conduct themselves according to his Shita. He also not meant to be Mashlim on Erev Shabbos. Here we see, they had no concern, no hesitation to be Mashlim their fast day, even though it was the day preceding their Yom Tov. Amar Avina, how could you compare Shabbos and this Yom Tov? This is a Yom Tov Rabbanon. Doesn't have the same weight as Shabbos. Sham the Yom Tov Shel Devrayim. Here it's different. This Yom Tov that they observed was a Yom Tov Shel Devrayim, a Rabbanon Yom Tov. So, just as we just learned that even when it was the actual day of their Yom Tov, they would fast. Although they wouldn't complete the fast day, but they would fast. Right, that was a story where Tisha B'Av was postponed to Sunday, which was actually the 10th day of Av, which was their Yom Tov. Rav Elazar told us they fasted on that day. A Tanis Shah is a partial fast day, okay. But that's something unique to a Yom Tov Rabban. That wouldn't be allowed on Shabbos. On Shabbos, one is not allowed to fast even a partial fast day, even a Tanis Shah. So since we see that Yom Tov Rabban has that kula that allows them to fast partially, so likewise, on the day preceding that Yom Tov, you could complete the Tanis. Although you're entering the Yom Tov in a state of fast, that's okay because it's no worse than a Tanis Shah on the actual day of their Yom Tov. Therefore, there was no concern there. As opposed to Shabbos, where one may not fast, even part of Shabbos day. Even a Tanis Shah is not allowed. Because the Shabbos Oynig is meant to be a day of delight. Some say it's Minat Torah even. One is not allowed to fast on Shabbos. So since you can't even fast part of Shabbos, likewise, when the Tanis day, as Erev Shabbos, you're not meant to complete that Tanis and enter Shabbos in a state of fasting. Says to Amar Avina, Shana Yom Tov Shel Devrayim. We're speaking about a Yom Tov Rabban, that's different. Just as you can conduct a partial fast day on the actual Yom Tov, as we just saw, Mashlima Be'arviyos. Likewise, you can be Mashlim at Tanis that takes place on the Erev, on the day preceding that Yom Tov. Because at most, it's only a partial fast that's happening. In contrast to Shabbos, Hoyel Ve'emes Anab HaShoyos, since certainly one is not allowed to conduct even a partial fast day on Shabbos, a Mashlim Ba'arviyos. Likewise, you may not be Mashlim the fast day that takes place on the day preceding Shabbos, because inevitably you're going to be entering Shabbos in a state of fasting, and it's like fasting on part of Shabbos. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. So it's 22 lines from the bottom. Beginning with the word Shana Yom Tov, the carbon. This is different. Kigoyin Hai, the carbon eats him. Hoyo v'kalu, since we find that it's lenient. Shemes Anam Boy, the Shois. Kedek Tonev Saninu Boy. As we just said, they would fast on that day if Tisha B'Av was postponed to that day. So since it has that kula, lefichach mashlim b'arviyos. For that same reason, you can go ahead and complete a tannis that takes place on the day preceding that day. Kloimar, mutal hashlim erev oisay yom tov. Ulukanas asaychay kushumona. There's no concern with entering that yom tov in a state of fasting. Dehafilu b'ikori, mutal esanu b'ktas hayayin. Because even in the actual day, one is allowed to conduct a partial tannis. So that's when it comes to these days. Avol Shabbos, she'asul esanu b'anu b'ktas l'shem tannis. Shabbos one is not allowed to even do a mitzvah tannis, even a partial tannis. Therefore, also nami lahashlam by arviyos, one is not allowed to be mashlam, complete the tannis that takes place on the day preceding Shabbos. Why? Here's the punchline. Shamashlim erev Shabbos. If one completes the tannis on erev Shabbos, misane be mitzvah Shabbos. We treat it like he's fasting on part of that Shabbos. So the point here is that if a person actually designates the entire day as a fast day, that would be us even by Yom Tov Rabban, like Chanukah, Purim, etc. But if it's only a Tanis Shois, he's fasting on part of that day, that's not really designating the day as a Yom Tanis. It's just a personal expression. He's personally refraining from eating on that day. So when it comes to Yom Tov Rabban, that's Mutter. And just as the Tanis Shois is Mutter, likewise a person can go ahead and complete a Tanis which takes place on the day preceding to that Yom Tov Rabban. But when it comes to Shabbos, not only can't you designate the day as a Yom Tanis, you can't even have a Tanis Shois, that personal refraining from eating on part of that Shabbos. And likewise, you can't go ahead and complete the Tanis which precedes Shabbos, because inevitably you're going to be entering Shabbos in a state of fasting, which is considered like a Tanis Shois. Continues the Gemara, 7 lines from the bottom, Amar Rav Yosef, Lo Yishmiel Yehoshmata. I haven't heard this statement that Ula said, Halacha follows Rabbi Yosi, they were meant to complete to be mashlim the tannis on Erev Shabbos. Amalei Abaye, at Amar Snealon. Actually, you yourself taught us that halacha. Ve'aha Amar Snealon, and it was with regards to the following brisa that you had dictated that halacha to us. And Rashi explains that Rabbi Yosi fell ill and he forgot his learning. And this is mentioned many times in the Gemara that Abaye would remind them of things that he himself taught them. So you taught us this halacha on the following brisa. Ein goyzerin tanas al tzibur, b'rosh chadash mechulu. This is the brisa we mentioned earlier, that the chacham would not initiate, would not establish a tanis on the tzibur, on the days of Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, and Purim. But if they established a sequence of fast days, and somehow it encountered one of those days of Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, and Purim, so the brisa says, ein mafsik, we're not meant to disrupt thee. Sequence of events, we went to fast even on those days. And Rameya tells us, name Ram Leel, that we're not meant to be mashlim. Although we fast, we don't complete that fast day. And not only when it comes to Chanukah and Purim, also when it comes to Erev Shabbos. For instance, if Tisha B'Av falls out on Erev Shabbos, we fast, but we don't complete the fast day, we don't enter Shabbos in a state of fasting. So this was the halacha, the brisa we mentioned earlier. And we learned on that, meaning Abaye speaking to Rav Yosef, you yourself taught us this addition as follows. Om Ravid Omar Rav Zu Divrei Rav Meir She'omar Mishum Rav Gamliel. This is Rav Meir speaking in the name of Gamliel, that we're not meant to complete, not meant to be mashlam the tanis. Aval Chachamim Aymrim. But you're meant to know that the Shita's Chachamim is, and we're meant to follow the Shita, this is Shita's Chachamim, Misanu Mashlam. When you fast, you complete. So the fact that Abaye is quoting Rav Yehuda, the name of Rav, who says that the Chachamim hold meant to complete the fast day, apparently he's relating to Rabbi Yosi here with the term Chachamim to indicate that this is how we're meant to follow. This is the halacha. Says the Gemara, my lav akhulu. Shall we not say that this statement pertains to everything mentioned in that brisa, the Chanukah and Purim, and also to the Tisha B'Av that falls out in Erev Shabbos, that we meant to complete the fast, even though it's leading into Shabbos, in a state of fasting. Says in Marloi, a Chanukah Purim. When Rav Yehuda tells us the name of Rav, that the Chachamim hold, we meant to complete the fast day, which indicates that this is the halacha. He wasn't referring to the Erev Shabbos halacha, because leading into Shabbos, that's problematic. You're not meant to enter Shabbos in a state of suffering. Rather, he was specifically referring to Chanukah and Purim, In those cases, he holds halacha follows Misano Mashlim, meant to complete those fast days. But when it comes to Shabbos, certainly not. Says Gemara Chanan Mistavra, this seems to be the correct approach, that he wasn't referring to Shabbos. Why? This is Agadai Tachakulu, because if you maintain that Rav Yehuda, who's quoting Rav, and saying that we're meant to complete the Tanis, is referring to even Erev Shabbos, that wouldn't work, because it's inconsistent with the incident with which we began our sugya. Haboy me Rav and Rav Yehuda. Wasn't it Rav who asked Rav Yehuda this very question? A fast day on Erev Shabbos, does it require Hashlama? Really, partially, he never responds. So how could it be that over here he's telling us, yes, we're meant to be mashlim? How is this consistent with the fact that he never responds to this question? So apparently he's not referencing Erev Shabbos. And it appears that when it comes to Erev Shabbos, we're not meant to follow Rav Yosi. We're not meant to complete that Tanis. Says the Gemara of the Tameich, according to your way of reasoning, how are you going to explain the following statement? Hadadarish Mazurta Mishred Rav Huna. Mazurta dictated the name of Rav Huna. Halacha Misano Mashlim. Halacha is that we're meant to complete a Tanis even Erev Shabbos. How is that consistent? Habay Minei Rabam Rav Huna. Prior to asking Rav Yehuda, let's remember that Rav approached Rav Huna and asked him the same question. Is one meant to complete a Tanis and Erev Shabbos? Well, he pashed lay, and he didn't respond to him. So how could it be that here we have Rav Zutra quoting Rav Huna that we're meant to complete the Tanis? Elo, you must say, these things took place in different times. The initial incident where Rav Huna did not have a response was prior to him hearing this halacha in the name of Rav, who was his Rebbe. And here, Rav Zutra is quoting Rav Huna. The meant to be mashlim, that was after he heard it from Rav. If that's the case, we can reconcile Rav Yehuda in that same manner. When Rav Yehuda wasn't aware, he couldn't answer initially, that was prior to him hearing the halacha in the name of Rav. However, when Rav Yehuda over here tells us, name of Rav, that we're meant to complete the Tanis, perhaps he's speaking even about Erev Shabbos, and it was after he heard that from Rav. Concludes the Gemara, indeed, Darash Mazurta Mishmed Rav Huna, Halacha Misana Mashlimin, Halacha is that one fasts on Erev Shabbos, he's meant to complete the Tanis, even if it leads into Shabbos. So in summary, when it comes to a Tanis, if it's the Yom Tov Derabbanan, one is allowed to be Misana Tanis Shois, part of that day. Likewise, he's meant to complete the Tanis that takes place on the day preceding the Yom Tov. When it comes to Shabbos, however, one is not meant to fast even on part of that Shabbos. When it comes to being Mashlim Matanis that takes place on Erev Shabbos, we have Machlekes. According to Rabbi Yosi, one is meant to be Mashlim. According to Rabbi Gamliel, one is not meant to be Mashlim. And the Gemara concludes, like Rabbi Yosi. Hadron Aloch, Makol Mar. Continues the Mishnah. Misha Yitzyu Nachrim, Oy Ruach Ra. One who was taken out of his tchum. We know a person has a boundary of 2,000 amma. He's allowed to walk. So we calculate the 2,000 amma out of the city in all directions. He's not meant to leave that boundary. What if he was taken out through Nachrim, through Gaim Oy Ruach Ra, an evil spirit entered his body and threw him off kilter, and he was unaware what's going on, and he finds himself out of the tchum? What happens now? Ein lo yeladalt amos. He's limited to his 4 amma space, which is his personal domain. Gemara will discuss whether it's a 4 amas in any direction. Gemara tells the mocker from the pasuk, Shvuis Tachtov, a person is meant to stay in his place, in his personal space. So this is the shear of Dal Damas. So either you have your tchum, your 2,000 amma, but if you're out of your tchum for some reason, then you're limited to 4 amas. Hechziru, what happens if they took him both directions? They took him out of the tchum and they brought him back. Kilo lo yatsa. It's as though he never left the tchum. He reverts back to his original state. But that's strictly in a case where he was taken two ways, inadvertently, by Goyim or Achra. But if he deliberately goes out of the Tchum, or if he finds himself out of the Tchum and he deliberately comes back in, he doesn't have this halacha of Kiyu Lo Yotza, as will be discussed in Al-Gemar. Continues the Mishnah. Let's say they took him and they transported him into a different city, which is Mukav Mechitzis. Or Nasnu B'dir B'sar, they placed him in these animal pens, which are enclosed. So it's a makam which is enclosed with mechitzis. The question here is, does he have that limitation of 4 amas, or perhaps we regard the entire enclosure as one solitary residential area, and he's allowed to walk throughout that area? He can walk throughout the entire area. Now, generally speaking, when a person finds himself in a house or in a city, the tchum is measured from outside the city, because the entire city, entire place of residence, of Makom Shvisa, is regarded like his personal space. It's not calculated, it's not deducted from the 2,000 amma. But that only pertains to where a person was actually Shavis, he was there during Ben HaShemashis, that became his Shabbos residence. In contrast to this case, where this fellow arrived here on Shabbos. He wasn't here during Ben HaShemashis. This wasn't his Shabbos residence. Do we say, even so, this is considered to be one entity. It's one enclosed entity. It's one place of residence. And therefore, although he really only has four amis, but we can consider this whole enclosure like his personal space. It has a din. It's equated like four amis. That's the shita of Rav Gamliel, Rav Elazar ben Azariah. We look at the place, at the makom, even though it's not his personal space, but this is a single unit, one makom, and he can walk throughout the entire area. However, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva, Aimrim, no, Aimli Eladalat Amos, in this case, where he wasn't there during the onset of Shabbos, this wasn't his personal Makom Shvisa. Since he arrived there on Shabbos, we can't say, well, it's considered to be one unit as far as he's concerned. He only has four Amos, his personal space. Let's see Rashi before we continue in the Mishnah. So Rashi here is right at the beginning of the Perek, which is four lines from the top. Misha Yitzhu Nachar. Chutz L'Tchum. So they transported him out of the Tchum. Oy Ruach Ra. Shnichnas by Shade. Some evil spirit, some demon entered his body. V'nitzvah Daita. It caused him to become deranged. He lost track of what's going on. Yotza Chutz L'Tchum. V'achach Nishtafa. Afterwards, he gained his bearings. And he realizes, V'arei Chutz L'Tchum. So, he only has four amos. What if they brought him back in? Hechziru l'teich atchum. Whether it was the goyim or the ruach ra. In any case, it wasn't deliberate. It was something out of his control. And he finds himself back in the tchum. Ki l'yotza. It's as though he never left. Arei kol ha'ir lo kedal damos kivat chila. The city is considered to be like one personal space, dal damos. V'chutz lo ha'payon amal chol ruach. And certainly you can have, in addition to the city, 2,000 amal in all directions, as though he never left the city. So that's if he goes back to the original tchum. What if they bring him to a place which is a mukaf machitzis? A lichuli racheres v'arei mukaf es machitzis. Oy shenasnu b'dir b'sar. Shei mukafen v'keifen gadol. These are enclosed areas, large enclosed areas. So a machlek, according to the first approach, malchas kula, he can walk throughout the entire area. Why? The hoyel u'mukaf es machitzis, since it's surrounded with machitzis, it becomes one unit. Harei gdalat amois. It's equated to the din of dal damos. And when we speak about dal damos, it's not specifically for amos. It means to say his personal domain, his personal usage area, his personal space. A place which is surrounded with mechitzos, we don't care whether it's 2 amos, 10 amos, 100 amos. It's one unit. It's one place of residence. So although this person is really limited to 4 amos, we consider this entire enclosure as though it's only 4 amos and it can walk freely throughout this entire area. Whereas according to the other sheet, no, he's limited strictly to 4 amos. Continues the Mishnah with a story that illustrates the former halacha. Ma'ase shebo mipal nad rasen. These aforementioned chachamim arriving by ship from this town that's mentioned here. V'fligas finasam bayam. They travel in the depth of the sea, and it turns out that they actually left their tchum because they were in the ship that was traveling on Shabbos. So they left the 2,000 amma boundary which they had acquired during the onset of Shabbos. They were already way out of that boundary. So they have a din of a Yotze Chutz L'Tchum who is limited to 4 ammas. So what happened? Rav Gamliel, Rav Elazar ben Azariah, this is the first set of Tanoim that we mentioned earlier, who allow one to walk throughout the entire enclosure. Holchos Kul, indeed, they walk throughout the entire ship, which is a Makom Mukaf Machitzis. Although they're really limited to 4 ammas, the ship is like 4 ammas. Whereas the second set of Tanoim, Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Akiva, lo yizazu midal damos, they didn't budge from their 4 amos. They remained within 4. Shiras alachmar al asfam, because they wanted to be machmar on themselves. They want to explain why it's only a chumrah. Why isn't this considered the alpidin in accordance with their shita? Because in this case it's different, because they were actually within these mechitzis during ben hashmashes. So halachically speaking, they're allowed to walk throughout the entire sfina, but they want to be machmar. Be'ezus Hashem, as the Gemara will explain for us. continues the Gemara, Pamachas. It was once a time that these Chacham were on a ship, and they arrived at port after nightfall, once Shabbos had already arrived. They only came to the port after darkness. So they turned to Gamliel with a question. What is the halacha? Can we disembark? Meaning, perhaps we have a din of Yotze Chutz HaTchum, because maybe when Shabbos arrived, our ship was more than 2,000 amah from the port, in which case we traveled more than 2,000 amah after Shabbos' arrival. We have a din of Yotze Chutz HaTchum, we're limited, we can't disembark. Amalam mutar ma'atam, yes, certainly you can come off the boat. Why? Shekvarisi mistakel. Because as we were arriving at port, I have this apparatus where I can measure our distance, and I was peering through this thing, and I determined that we were within the tchum, within the boundary of the port, within 2,000 amma, ashleit techashecha, prior to nightfall, in which case, we have a din like all other residents of the city. We did not travel more than tchum, and therefore we can get off the ship, and we have the same status as everybody else in this town. So in summary, we learned that a person has a tchum of 2,000 amma. If somehow he finds himself out of the tchum, he's limited to 4 amas, which becomes like his new tchum. If he was transported both ways, inadvertently, so he gets back his original status. What if he's placed in a makam, which is mukam machitzes? We have a machlekes. Tanu Rabbanu. Gimul dvarim ma'avir nesa'odam al datoi va'adas koinei. There are three things, three situations, which have the ability to throw a person completely off kilter, off balance, to cause him to violate his own mind, his own da'as, his own will, and the will of Hashem to do wrong things. Anyway, what are these three things? Oydei kechav, the impact, the influence of goyim, v'rach ra, or an evil spirit, as we mentioned in the Mishnah, v'dikduk anias, and the exactness, the deprivation of poverty, restrictions of poverty, which can cause a person to lose his bearings. V'mainaf gemina, what's the point of discussing this? L'mboi rachmei alayos, a person who encounters these situations, should daven to Hashem for rachmanis to protect him from the ramification of this situation. Now, tell you the Esekasha. We have a Gemara in Ma'id Katan, which indicates that sometimes the Yetzihar of a person also has tremendous power to throw him totally off balance and completely overwhelm. So why is this not listed in the Gemara here? So let's tell you the difference here, because when it comes to Yetzihar, although sometimes a person finds himself in a situation where he's completely overwhelmed, perhaps he doesn't even have a bechir any longer. He doesn't have the ability to fight. But, says Tosis, must keep in mind that a person has the ability, yachol lizor shelo yavo yidekach. A person always has the ability to avoid that situation. He knows, look, this place, this time, this situation is a pitfall for me. Once I get in there, I can't get out. He must ensure that he doesn't arrive at that circumstance. So that's within his ability. And therefore, says Tosis, there's a difference between that, which is within a person's control, as opposed to these, which have an overwhelming control of the person, the Ma'aris Adam, completely. Continues the Gemara. Gimul ein roi pnei Gehenim. There are three situations, three experiences, which are difficult. And when a person experiences them, it substitutes for Gehenim. He no longer has to experience Gehenim, due to the difficulties that he experienced. Eluhein, what are these three things? Dikduk Yanis, as we mentioned earlier. V'choyli mi'ayin, illness of one's intestines, v'arashus, being pursued by creditors. V'yesh oimrim, another one on the list. Af mish yesh l'ish l'ra. Likewise, a person who has a bad wife, someone who's below standard when it comes to ruchnias, or really terrible midas. So, that situation substitutes, makes up for Gehenim. V'idach, now the other shita who didn't list ish l'ra on his list, why not? Isha mitzvah lagarsha. If he has that situation, it's a mitzvah to divorce her. So why is he keeping her? So, since it's avoidable, so he doesn't have that same status as the other situation, although he's suffering, he doesn't have a situation of substituting for Gehenim. V'idach, the other shita who listed the Isha Ra on the list, he said this too could be unavoidable. Zimnin d'ksevasa meruva, sometimes the Ksuv obligation, the monetary obligation to the Isha, is too great and overwhelming. It doesn't have the ability to divorce her. Inami, alternatively, is le banim mina. He has children from her. They have children and doesn't allow for this option. Therefore, it's unavoidable. Why discuss these things? In order that a person should adopt the right attitude, if he experiences these difficulties, he should know that it's instead of Gehenna, it's Mechapar on him. In fact, the Gemara in Brachas Avhei says, when a person experiences Yisurim, the ideal approach is to Mekabel Mehava. Like a carbon, the Gemara says, a person is meant to bring a carbon L'Ratzon, willingly. So Yisurim, which are meant to be like a carbon, is meant to be accepted by Ahava, willingly, with Ratzon, with love, with understanding, acceptance, and know that it's for your sake, for your goodness, and for your benefit, to be Mechapar. That's the point of mentioning it. One should know that's going to replace Gehenna, accept it with love. Concludes the Gemara. There are three situations where a person can die even when he's not speaking, without any prior warning. Through illness of the intestinal system, a woman who gave birth due to a weakness, through this sickness, Rashi says, where it doesn't appear like a person is about to pass away, but that can happen. L'man af kemina, what's the point of discussing this? L'mishmushi b'hu tzav dasa. So a person should be prepared. A person experiences these situations. A person should prepare the tzav dasa, the tachrichim, the shrouds. As Ben Yonada explains, the point here is that a person should be aware of this possibility and do tshuva, be prepared for all eventualities. Continues the Gemara, getting back to the case of a person who left a tchum, Aram Nachman Aram Shmuel. Yotzel adas, ein loy ela arba'amis. If a person leaves the tchum boundary willingly, then he's limited to 4 amas. Pshita, of course. What's the point of mentioning it? It's pretty apparent from the Mishnah. Why? Hashta, because now, imi sheitziu nachram, ein loy ela daldamis. Mishnah tells us that even a person who was transported out of the tchum by goyim, he is limited to 4 amas. And no more. Yotzel das, my boy, why do you even speak about a case where a person leaves willingly? Of course. But Yotzel das, certainly, he loses his privileges. He must remain within his 4 amas. So what's the point of Nachman Amar Shmuel? Ella, rather, this is what he meant to say. Ema, chazel das, ein lo ila dal damas. Let's say as follows. Ema, what Rav Nachman is teaching us is that, let's say Goyim transported a person out of the tchum. So he finds himself out of the tchum, and then willingly he returns to the tchum. Chazal adas. So Rav Nachman is teaching us, although he was taken out of the tchum shloi ladas inadvertently, but since you've come back willingly, and that was unlawful, we're not allowed to leave the confines of your 4 amas. It's as though you're leaving your tchum again, and you must remain within your 4 amas that you find yourself in. So that's the chiddush. Says more, if that's the chiddush, that's also pretty obvious from the Mishnah. Hanami Tanina. That also was learned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if the Goyim take him out, then he has 4 amas. If they bring him back into the Tchum, then he reverts back to the original Tchum. Hechziru Nachrim Mekil Lo Yotze. It's as though he never left. That implies that Dafka in this case, Hechziru Hu Dikil Lo Yotze. Only in this case, where they themselves brought him back. They took him out and they brought him back. And he gets back his original tchum. Aval hitziyu nachrim v'chazal adas. But if they took him out and he came back on his own, ein lo ela dal damas. Certainly in this case, he's limited to 4 amas. So this too is learned from the Mishnah. So what's the point of Nachman? Says ma ela ema, let's say as follows. This was his chiddush. Yotzal adas v'chziru nachrim. Let's say he left willingly and then the goyim brought him back. The chiddush here is ein lo ela dal damas. Although he was brought back, he was returned to the tchum by the goyim, perhaps that determines things. That's the most important criteria. How did he get back? He came back through the goyim? Fine. Perhaps you can get back your original tchum. Rav Nachman comes and tells us, no. Even in this case that the goyim returned him, he only has the aldamas. Why? Because remember, how did he get out? Initially he went out ladas. He doesn't have that privilege. Says the Gemara, if that's the chiddush, that's also pashut. Hanami tanina, that also what's taught in our Mishnah? The Mishnah specifically tells us, if they took him out and returned him back to the original tchum, it's as though he never left. Only when both ingredients were present here, They took him out and brought him back. Avol yotzel adas. But if he went out on his own and the goyim brought him back, why? In that case, he would not return back to his original tchum. We wouldn't say kilo yotz in that case. So the wording of the Mishnah itself indicates to us that this halacha is correct. So why does Rav Nachman need to teach us the halacha? Says the Gemara, perhaps one can interpret the Mishnah in a way where he would not know this halacha. Ma'od the same, perhaps I can say, let's study in Ketani. We went to learn the Mishnah in sections, in segments. The Mishnah begins by saying, Mishayitzu Nachrim, v'chazal adas. So the initial halacha of the Mishnah is, the goyim took him out, but then what happened? This isn't found in the wording of the Mishnah, but we're going to assume that that was the end of the story. They took him out, but he came back, willingly, v'chazal adas, eloi el adal damas. In this case, he's limited to 4 amas. That's the first halacha of the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah continues, hechziru, which is an entirely different situation scenario. We're speaking about a case where he went out himself, and the goyim returned him. Avol yotzel adas, v'echziru nachrem. The Mishnah is telling us, ki lo yotzel. In this case, since he was brought back to the original tchum by the goyim, that determines matters. That sets the halacha. If they brought him back, fine, then you go back to the original tchum. So perhaps that would be a way to learn the Mishnah. Don't learn the Mishnah as though it's referring to one case. The Mishnah is saying the goyim took him out and brought him back, and only there can he revert back to the original tchum. The Mishnah is actually meant to be split into two. The Mishnah begins by saying, Mishayitzu nachrim, if they took him out, but then he himself decided to come back on his own. In this case, since you've arrived back at your tchum on your own, you don't get original privileges. You don't get back your first tchum. You stay with your 4 amas. That's the first halach. The second halach was, let's say he himself went out, but the goyim brought him back. Oh, the goyim brought him back? Okay. Then he can get back the original tchum because it's the last leg, it's the last event which determines things. If how do you get back to the tchum? Through the goyim? Okay. Then we don't consider it as though he himself deliberately left his tchum of Dal Damas, which was granted to him outside the tchum, and deliberately left that and came back in. The goyim brought him back. Okay, so now you can have the original tchum. So that would be a way to learn the Mishnah. Kamash Malon. That's why Rav Nachman comes to tell us, in the name of Shmuel, it's not the case. The only way a person can go back to the original tchum is if he was transported in both directions by the Nachman. So in summary, we learned about a person who's yoytze chutz l'tchum. So if he went out deliberately or came back from outside the tchum deliberately, in either case, he's limited to 4 amas. Even if he went out shalei l'das, for instance, goyim transported him out of the tchum, he's limited to 4 amas. But if he was transported both ways shalei l'das, out and in this case, he reverts back to his original tchum ki'ilu lo yotze. What if he finds himself in a place which is Mukav Machitzes or Machlekes? According to Rav Gamliel and Rav Azariah, he can walk throughout the entire enclosure. According to Rav Shimon Akiva, he only has his 4 amas. Continues the Gemara, 7 lines from the bottom. Bo minei Rabba, they ask the following question of Rabba. A person finds himself out of the Tchum, he's limited to 4 amas. And Hutzruch l'nekavav. Now, he needs to attend to his personal needs. He needs to go find a place which is suitable for that. A place which is Tzanua, Ma, what is the Halacha? May he leave his 4 amas to go find that place. Amalem, so Rabbi responded, certainly he can. Gadol kaved habriyos. Human dignity is so great and important. Shadoicha es loisas yishabet Torah, has the ability to override loisas in the Torah. Here it's in reference to the Issa Tchumen, which is actually the Rabbanon, which is based on the pasuk loisasar. We're not meant to deviate from the instruction of the Chachamim. So that's why the Gemara calls it a loisasay. So you can go ahead and override Issa Tchumen, leave the 4 amas to go find himself a makam, which is modest, which is tanua, to attend to his needs. Amri Nahadoi, Nahadoi said as follows, Ipikechu, if this fellow is a wise man, this is what he should do. When he goes searching for a suitable place, he should head back to his original tchum. Perhaps he's going to find that place that he needs inside the tchum. Ayil tchum, let him go back to the direction of the tchum, and once he gets in there, v'kim in da'al al. Once he finds himself inside his original tchum, oh, he's in there. And this way, he has his original tchum because he was allowed to do this walking. It was bereshus. It wasn't unlawful. Hacham allowed him to go find this place. So it's like the case where the goyim brought him back to his original tchum. So once he finds himself in his original boundary, then he reverts back to the original state And he's like everybody else in that town. Let's take a look at Rashi. So off to the left, about seven lines up from where we're holding in the Gemara, Rashi begins with Hutzach on the Kavav. This fellow who was transported out of the Tchum by Goyim, he needs to tend to his needs. Can he leave the farms? And Rabbi responded, certainly he could, because Kavadah Bris is Doicha, es loisis shebetoira, lav delois sasur, which tells us we're meant to listen to the instruction of the Chachamim. And here as well, it's the Rabbanim, Tchum and Amid Rabbanim. And then Ardori added, Ipikechu, hi, the Nisach on the Kavav, this fellow is a Pikech. This fellow, who the Chachamim granted permission to leave his Daldamas, this is what he should do. He should go back in the direction of his Tchum. Once he's entered, he's entered. Umutar, as though he never left the town. Because he came back in with permission. And it's no worse than the case where a person was transported out of the Tchum and back in through the Goyim, in which case he reverts back to his original Tchum. Now the Ritva points out this halacha of Nardoi that if he finds himself back in his tchum, he can regain the original status. That's only the case where he was transported initially out of the tchum by Goyim. So since he was taken out against his will, and now he came back, he returned to find the Beis Akisei, then he reverts back to the original tchum. But if you have a case where initially he left willingly, ladas, unlawfully, so although now, in search of a Beis HaKisei, he finds himself back in the original Tchum, we won't say Ki Lo Yotza. As we learned earlier in the Gemara, that only applies where, in both directions, it was done lawfully. And indeed, the Lashon Rashi also indicates as such, because if we go back to the beginning of the sequence of Rashi that we just learned, Hoshech L'Nakava, Rashi says, Zeh She'etzu Nachram. So specifically, when Nachram took him out. Now, certainly the halacha that a person can go search for a makam Beis HaKisei applies to any case. Even a person willingly left the tchum and is limited to farmers, he can go find a place for Beis HaKisei. So that halacha pertains to any case. So why is Rashi mentioned that we're speaking about a case where Goyim took him out? So the Farshim explained because he's coming to address this point. Now what do you say? He ends up coming back to the tchum, he reverts back to the old tchum. But that only pertains to a case where in both directions it was okay. For instance, when he was taken out initially by Goyim. So since he was taken out by Goyim, and he came back for Shus to find the Beis HaKisei. Therefore, if he's back in the Tchum, it's Ki Lo Yotza, and he has the original Tchum. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. We began discussing Halachah of Tanis. So if it's a Yom Tov Rabbanon, one is allowed to make a Tanis Shus on that day, and certainly one can go ahead and complete the fast day on the day preceding that Yom Tov. When it comes to Shabbos, a Tanis Shus is Asur. Regarding being Mashlim, we have a Machlekes. Gemara listed three cases of possible sudden death, chas v'shalom, and a person is meant to prepare himself accordingly. We discussed three difficult situations which replace Gehenna, and three situations where a person is meant to daven to Hashem for Rachmanas to protect him from those bad influences. We discussed the halacha of Yotzei Chutz HaTchum, and the conclusion was that if either he went out of the Tchum, or if he finds himself out of the Tchum and he came back, l'das, if he does it willingly, he only has four amos. If he went out, even Shleil Das, he has four Amis. If he went out and came back, Shleil Das, for instance, he was transported two ways by the Goyim, and he finds himself back in the original Tchum, we say Ki Lo Yotza, and he gets back the original status. If he finds himself in a place which is Mukim Mechitzes, from Machlekes, whether he's allowed to walk throughout the entire area, or he's limited and restricted to four Amis. We discussed that a person may go ahead and find a place for the Beis HaKisei, and if he should find himself back in his original Tchum, Kivan Da'al, and he gets back, the original stats.